You know, we always enjoyed talking to Nicole Small. First of all, she was the CEO of the Perot before there was a Perot, and then it raised all the money, then they built the Perot, and then she moved on, and she's done lots of other things. And now she's the CEO of Lida Hill Philanthropies and LH Capital, and she's also bringing a really interesting symposium, I guess it is, to Dallas. Nicole Small joined us right now. It's good to have you with us.
So glad to be here.
So you got two kids and you built all this stuff and you, I don't know how you, when do you sleep?
Well, I do my best to try a little bit every night when possible.
But you do, you keep your plate very full, and now there's this effort to get more women involved in STEM, science, technology. Tell me about the initiative that you have.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think it's common knowledge that women don't tend, and girls don't tend to pursue careers in STEM as often as their male counterparts. And it's not because they're not interested or intrigued. It's that what we have learned is that they don't see themselves out in the world in those kinds of jobs, and they don't fully have a good sense of what kinds of jobs are out there. So it's common, for a long time we've known that there's been a, what they call a leaky pipeline in women in science. And so we have been studying it at Lida Hill Philanthropies for years, and I had the good fortune of, you know, having the opportunity to be at the Perot Museum for a long time and have been sort of engrossed in this, how you educate and communicate science with kids, for a long time. And we launched an initiative called If Then earlier this year, which takes a little bit of a different approach to thinking.
If Then,
it's a coding term.
Right.
And it can be used in lots of different ways.
But
right?
How does it apply here?
Well, if a girl can see herself, then she can go out and change the world, right? If she can see herself in a STEM career, then she can cure cancer, she can help with climate change, she can create the next device, you know, for biotech. If she sees that she has an opportunity, she can go out and do it.
Well, you're having this conference here next week, 21st through the 23rd, and you have rounded up over 100 women who are doing just that. They can't be that hard to find.
There are tons of them out there. It's not that women aren't in those jobs. It's that we don't see them in their jobs. So when you look at modern media, when you watch TV shows, when you watch movies, the ratio of women in STEM careers that you see around you is really low. So when you look at museum walls, when you tell stories, that you just don't see them. So what we're doing is trying to create a culture shift where we put all these amazing women out there and help them tell their stories. So we've got a project going on with science museums across the country to change all of their walls, to put real women scientists on their walls, so the kids and the people
in
their communities.
So you can see your role model.
You can see your role. If you can't see it, you can't be it, right? So we're working with, we've got a show we just launched called Mission Unstoppable on Saturday mornings. We just had our third episode this past weekend. You can see it at 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings. And we highlight some really cool careers for girls and boys, right? So this is for everybody. We've got 125 amazing women ambassadors whose stories we're telling. So we've got women from Spotify and we've got women from MIT.
And these are the ones you're bringing here for this conference,
they
right?
They are all coming to town next week. We invited 125 women ambassadors and we have over 120 showing up to spend 4 days with us next
week.
So
who's the audience? Where does the audience come from?
Well, so next week, this summit is about two pieces. One, it's about the women spending time with each other, getting trained on how to best communicate their stories. And over the course of 4 days, we're going to be shooting photography of every single one of them that's going to go on museum walls. We're going to be shooting videos that are going to be translated into classrooms through people like Teach for America, through Girl Scouts, all over the country. So there'll be videos that teachers have access to for free. We're going to be shooting all sorts of other types of media that they can use for Instagram, they can use on YouTube. We also have a YouTube show called Goldie Blocks that we're going to be doing some shooting for as well. So we're collecting a ton of content next week that we're then going to be distributing to the world all for free. It's called the If Then Collection, which is going to be available to museums, nonprofits, schools, any NGO, it'll be available for free to them to use. So we're doing that next week, and then they're going out to a bunch of schools on Wednesday.
So this makes more sense why you call them ambassadors, because you're pulling in 120 super performing women in a varied backgrounds, and you're recruiting them to the cause.
Exactly.
To go out and carry the word.
Right. We want them to go out and tell their own stories, right? So it's the age old, we've all seen it. If you ask kids to draw a picture of a scientist, most kids draw Albert Einstein. That's the scientist that comes to mind. And so what we're trying to do is change kids' perspective of what a scientist looks like. It looks like every kid walking down the street, but they have to see themselves in those jobs. And we have to tell them that there are such cool jobs out there. There's so much tech going on in the world right now. Those are STEM jobs. Kids don't really understand that you can literally work for Amazon or Spotify or Boeing or Southwest Airlines. We have people, we have women representing all those companies that are part of this effort. And then we have people who are also trying to cure cancer. So whatever it is that your passion is, we've got something that you could do for a living, get paid, and there's someone that looks like you doing
it. Is it okay for girls to do this now? You know, there was an argument, and I know you keep up with Hockaday. My wife and mother both were graduates of Hockaday. But part of the argument for a single-sex school was that you weren't intimidated, that it was okay to be smart, and that the boys wouldn't look down on you, and that you could excel. Is that necessary still?
Well, I think that's a whole other conversation. I'm a huge advocate for single-sex schools for the right kids. I think that, you know, the cool thing about being at a single-sex school, whether it's Irma Rangel or Solar Prep or Hockaday, right, is that you begin to identify as an athlete or a scholar or a scientist. So I think that for the right kids, those clearly are huge opportunities. And obviously, the body of research out there says for girls and boys, there are a set of kids that is an amazing opportunity for them. It may not be for everybody, but we've seen, you know, in Dallas alone, we've seen the rise of Irma Rangel. Solar Prep got started, which is a young STEM school just for girls, part of the DISD program. It's been one of the most successful launches of schools ever in Dallas. So I think there is a huge, huge need for those kinds
of
schools.
But, you know, going forward, I'm intrigued. Bobby Lyle is one of our favorite guests, and Bobby Lyle has funded the technology school, the energy engineering school.
At SMU.
And he tells us that, I don't know, close to 40% of the enrollment now is women, and that it seems to be growing.
It is growing. That's the good news here. This is a battle we can fight and a war we can win. So that's the exciting thing. I mean, I think there's a lot of problems in this world. And, you know, look at Light of Hill Philanthropies. We see a lot of things from poverty to education to science, cancer, biotech, all those kinds of things. There's a lot of really big problems that people don't have the answers to yet. There's a lot of great people doing a lot of great work in those areas. This is actually something that is solvable. And so I think there's a lot of people working on this issue. And I think that we're seeing positive progress. And I do think we live in a world where girls are starting to believe they can be whatever they want. This is actually fixable. So, and that's why I think we undertook this initiative, is because things like Saturday morning TV shows, museum walls, you know, TFA, education videos, those kinds of things, if we can make them and they can provide them, then this is something that we can change, right? There's no reason that girls shouldn't see themselves, and boys shouldn't see girls in those jobs, by the way. It's for boys and girls.
So it's interesting. So this October 21st through 23rd, If Then initiative is the beginning. It's not the end by any means.
No, it's really exciting. So we launched it. We went public in March with it. We launched our ambassador program and selected them. We started it over the summer. We announced them in the beginning of September. Although I will say we did a project with the Gina Davis Institute, which we announced a study about a year ago, where we had commissioned them to go out and look at how women in STEM are represented in the media. And you can look it up on cjane.org. It's some really amazing data. That data was released as the beginning of our If Then project last October in New York at Google headquarters. We released it. And we're pretty proud about the fact that since then, which has been 1 year almost exactly, we have launched multiple and executive produced multiple pieces of media that are out there. So this Mission Unstoppable on CBS, Saturday mornings, we went from announcing the data to actually launching a show in under 12 months, wow, highlighting these women, and our YouTube channel, Goldie Blocks, that is also out there. We've already produced 6 episodes and had over 2 million views by kids, young girls, that now see themselves completely differently than they did before.
I can't wait to see the outgrowth of this. So this is the If Then initiative. If you see the people around town, engage them in conversation, but I think you're going to keep them pretty busy. Nicole Small is the CEO of Lida Hill Philanthropies. Always good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
And you're always doing something new. And
it's fun.
I like that. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD. To hear more of our conversation with Nicole Small, go to krld.com/CEO.